And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
That's what they call me. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial there as well. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the show, day before a Wolves midweek. Looking forward to that episode of The Hub tomorrow, but looking forward to this episode with you folks out there in radio land. We've got an Aberdeen Wings Weekly in full coming up here in about 20 minutes. Looking forward to that discussion with head coach Scott Langer and Jay Kleinkonect, and of course, Mr. Braun as well in between the pipes. A very solid weekend for him as the Wings went a collective 2-1 defeating the Watertown Shamrocks there on Wednesday, and then a 1-1 weekend on Friday and Saturday against the Bismarck Bobcats. We'll take the temperature of the Wings squad coming up here, like I said, in about 20 minutes on the show. David Tewksbury along for the ride with Matt McClure back in studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing okay. I'm a little under the weather, but, you know, I feel like I'm on the backhill slide of that, which is good.
That is good.
And definitely need my voice for Thursday night. I got my first doubleheader, so going to need that for sure. And my dad, I think, brought a little bit of a sickness from Wisconsin for Thanksgiving and all that good stuff. You look good, by the way. You look fantastic. A nice new haircut, yes?
No, not a...
Really?
Not a new haircut.
Okay, looks like it's a new haircut.
Yeah, I appreciate it, though.
Yeah, I mean, we usually get our haircut almost the exact same time, which is kind of ironic. I don't know why I thought you'd have one, you know, that soon. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. You're back in studio. Travel day there yesterday, and Thanksgiving, of course, in the rearview mirror. How was your turkey day and all that good stuff?
It was pretty good. You know, it was quick turnaround, got home Wednesday night, spent Thanksgiving with the family. Then I had to go to Pittsburgh, PA, and was the best man at a wedding. And I'll tell you what, man, that was the first time I've been in a wedding.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a whole day thing. It's a lot. It was a fun experience being in the wedding, and congratulations to one of my best friends and his girlfriend, now wife. And yeah, it was a great day in Pittsburgh, but I didn't realize it was a full day deal.
Just wait till the day you get married. It's not a full day deal. It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice because, like you say, when you are the best man or you're a groomsman or something like that, it is a full day affair. I was a best man in a wedding, about 6 years ago, something like that, 6-7 years ago now. And, you know, they get the first look and the pictures and this and that. And, you know, you got to be part of the photos and you can't do this. You got to be over there for that.
Yeah.
And you got to do the games and this, that, and the third. It's just, then you got the speech. It is a full day affair. You feel like you've just gone through like a 60-minute football game.
Yeah. The speech, I think, was the hardest part of the whole thing for me. I'm not the greatest public speaker, weird enough, because I talk in front of a microphone for a living. But
right.
I guess it was people actually looking at me. I did a pretty good job. But, yeah, it was a fun weekend, quick weekend when you think about it, because it was like Sundays here. I got to drive back home, and then I had to hop on a couple planes there yesterday and got here, I think, at around 10:20 last night.
Oh, wow. That is a quick turnaround.
Yeah. So 10:20 last night. We were just sitting in the runway at the MSP airport. Thing was supposed to take off at around 8:20. We didn't leave until about 9:30. It's only a 45-minute flight from MSP to here, but we're just sitting there. I'm just like, this is the worst. The worst.
Just hitting that Jeopardy theme. I don't have the Jeopardy theme in this year. I'm looking for it. No, I don't think I have it. Doggone it. But yeah, that's the worst thing is when you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs, waiting and waiting and waiting, and it just feels like time is standing still. But what was the drink of choice for you there on the wedding day?
It was a combination of things. they had like a party bus, so it was like bourbon on the rocks early. But it was more, I stuck to beer.
Okay.
I was, you know, trying to stay in the clear with the beer.
That's right.
So I was drinking a lot of just like Miller, Coors, Michelob Ultra. They didn't have like a specialty drink. Usually they had like a drink after the dog or something like that or something. And it was just kind of, they only drink like beer and high noons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all they really had.
Yeah. And you're like, well, I'm in South Dakota now, so we drink different stuff out here. But yeah, my parents were in town for the Thanksgiving holiday, and they bought me a bottle of the Woodford Reserve.
Okay.
I talk about Woodford Reserve. I love that stuff, and it's definitely a vice that I have, and you know, not too often. I've only had like one glass of it yet, and I think I bought a bottle of that in April of last year. I just finished it like a couple weeks ago. So I like to let it breathe a little bit. I'm not trying to like drink it all in a weekend.
Yeah,
that's not good. Don't want to have that. Not at all. He is Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
This is The Jump. This is the Sports Hub Daily Sports Talk Show, Monday through Friday, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. Good stuff there, and glad to have you back here in studio. Tomorrow, a Wolves midweek. Today, a Wings weekly coming up in just a few short moments. Not a whole lot of local notes. I mean, yesterday was a pretty sparse schedule. Did have a couple of regional non-conference basketball affairs. We'll talk about that as time permits. And then this is kind of like the dead zone. You know, in between the end of fall sports season and the start of winter sports season, at least on the high school side of things, that gets underway coming up here next week. And actually, technically this weekend, I believe, with some high school girls basketball. But we'll leave that to a later date. But first and foremost, let's go ahead and get to the jump here on FSA. And you come into studio and you say, Tukes, there's a guy that got suspended. And I said, yep, we're going to talk about that here on the show. Aziz Al-Shaahir with a three-game suspension for his late hit on Trevor Lawrence. And I said, yeah, we're going to pretty much debate and discuss. And, you know, what say you? I say it's a late hit. It really wasn't technically a late hit. It was just a violent, violent, violent hit. And Trevor Lawrence is going for the slide there. So three-game suspension, fair, foul, what do you think?
I think it's pretty fair. From what I've seen, he's a repeat offender of this same kind of deal. I thought it was a very cheap hit when I saw it in real time. And then you go back and look at it, it gets worse, I feel like, every time you look at it. I think three games is fair. I would have been fine with really any suspension. But I think more than one was the right call. They went with three. I'm completely fine with it. It was a cheap and dirty hit, in my opinion.
You know, I'm waffling on this one, to be honest with you, because the key word you just said right there is spot on. Here, two words. He's a repeat offender, and that's just it. This is like Draymond Green. You're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
That would be not the case in the NBA. Al-Shaahir is a repeat offender. He's tried to choke Tom Brady on a play, which was pretty crazy. I think there's some other clips of viral fame with him as well. But to be honest with you, I am kind of waffling on this one a little bit. The more and more that I delve into this, it's really kind of making me think more and more, which I think is a good thing. So in that situation, Trevor Johnson, he had a great interception against Bemidji. Neither here nor there. Trevor Lawrence, excuse me. So he's going for the slide, right?
Yeah. Trevor, was it a little late, you thought, the slide?
It was a little bit of a late slide. So Lawrence is going for the slide. Josh Allen runs you over. Lamar Jackson hits the circle button, spin cycle, jukes you out. Kenny Pickett does the fake slide and then scores a touchdown.
That's a good point.
And I'm thinking to myself, what's a guy supposed to do as a linebacker? Now, the forearm shiver to the face mask, I get it. You don't need to have that. But you got three different players are doing three different things.
Good point.
Allen runs right through you. Jackson either spin cycle. Oh, Saquon Barkley jumps over you. So you got all those sorts of things. What's the defender supposed to do? You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
I'm having a really hard time with this. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Is he's a repeat offender, so the grace for him is not so much there. But you got quarterbacks, some with different athletic abilities than others. They're doing their own thing. Lawrence goes for the slide. I'm having a really hard time with this.
I think it might have been after the play, too. There was like a big kind of fight. I think that might have had to do something with it as well. It wasn't just a lineman pushing a guy over and then going back to the huddle. There was a big stoppage after that. I think maybe that has something to do with it, but I think he's done it before. He's a repeat offender. It's a lot, like you said, the Draymond Green effect in this situation. Now, am I surprised he got three? Yes. I think you look at it, maybe one or two, three multi-game suspension, surprising. But, you know, to your point, Lamar Jackson on something like that, he'll spin, juke you out. You got Allen. I mean, he likes to run you over with the shoulder. He likes lowering his shoulder. So I'm with you on that. I agree with you, but I think the repeat offender is what got him in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So what can be done going forward? I know I've seen a lot of people on the – internet talking about eliminating the slide entirely from a quarterback perspective. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that'll ever be a thing, but I don't know. It's a very, very interesting thing, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Is that repeat offender, that grace is gone for him. So a 3-game suspension for Azeez Al-Shaahir. You also mentioned last night off the air that Jameis Winston had probably the most Jameis Winston of a game ever last night, and I kind of joked with my buddy, and I said, ESPN needs to do a show on him called 30 for 30, because he had that 30 touchdown, 30 interception performance, and he last night was spectacular, and then he was spectacularly Jameis, and I don't know which one's which, but he had 170 yards passing to the Denver Broncos yesterday on pick sixes, and get this, Matt, Deshaun Watson only threw for more than 170 yards three times this season.
Wow. That was the ultimate Jameis game last night. I'm watching it and saw at the half he was nearing 250 yards. I'm like, oh, he's going to throw for 500, and he already threw for a pick six earlier in the first half. But, yeah, he's just you never know with him. He could either hit a 75-yard touchdown like he did to Jerry Jeudy, who had a big-time return in his Denver Bronco return, or he can just throw a pick six. He's an interception magnet at times. He's so much fun to watch. I feel like Browns fans are having a lot of fun with this team now since he's been playing. Now, I know Deshaun Watson, he got injured, and, you know, there was a little mixed emotion there because they were booing him when he got hurt. But I think even though they're 3-9, there's been just like this resurgence in Cleveland. Like, this guy's a lot of fun to watch. We never know what we're going to get with him. And it was on full display last night. I was rooting hard for the Browns, but yeah, they just you can't do that and expect to win in the National Football League.
It's kind of like that meme on social media of the girl in front of the laptop who's like, you know what I mean? Like, sorry for our radio audience that couldn't see that, but her face is like, ooh, gross, and she's like, oh, well,
not bad.
It's actually could be a good thing there. So, yeah, he is definitely must-see TV. No two ways about it. And maybe I'll tweet out that that GIF or something like that. And final one before we get you out of here for our first break in the action. I saw this on the internet and just knocked my socks off. Rob Manfred, he is, of course, the man in charge with Major League Baseball commissioner. He says there is, quote-unquote, buzz, that's the word that was tossed out there, around adding a, get this, golden at-bat rule, where a team could choose one at-bat in every game to utilize its best hitter regardless of where they are in the lineup. So let's say if you're the Yankees and you've got your number 8 or 9 hitter in there and you're like, oh man, we're not doing anything here. Let's throw Aaron Judge up at the bat instead. That could be a thing in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get my fly swatter out on that one with the buzz. I'm not into that at all. Are you kidding me? Really? I mean, you already got the ghost runner at second rule.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to have a golden at bat guy. What if you just get through the middle of the lineup? Oh, well, you got to do it again. Try to get Aaron Judge out or Juan Soto again.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
You know what? Just to combat how bad of a rule this is, I can combat it with another bad rule. How about you got your golden at bat? Then if you get him out, that's 3 outs. Congratulations.
Yeah.
The inning's over.
Yeah, he should be worth 3 outs.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I like that.
If you're going to make a terrible rule, let me make a terrible rule in reverse of that.
I mean, can't we just do what we did years and years ago with just playing the game?
You could do that.
Like they've always done until we had to have a ghost runner on second to speed up the game.
That is so stupid. I'm so done with the ghost runner. I mean,
why do you think baseball is, you know, in the spot that they're at right now? Because of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, I just don't understand why. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And it feels like baseball, to a certain degree, over the last couple of years has got a bit of a resurgence.
Yes.
I'm watching more baseball. I'm listening to the Twins right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm enjoying the games. Maybe I'm the odd man out here. Maybe I'm not the norm.
I do like to speed up with the pitch clock.
I think that's great.
I am a pitch clock guy, but I'm not a ghost runner guy. Never been a ghost runner guy. And if that rule comes into play, I'm not going to be a fan of that either. Because my Orioles play in the AL East, and when you play the New York Yankees and you're up 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth inning, and you get Aaron Judge out, and then you be like, oh, wait, he can hit again after you just got him out? That would tick me off.
Yeah, that would upset me, that's for sure. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some very, very brief college notes from yesterday. If you want to get a head start on the Missouri Valley all-conference football teams, you can check that out on our website, hubcityradio.com, as we'll take a look at some college basketball from last night after this. Got about a minute left in our live program because we've got a full Wings Weekly coming up here in just a bit. College basketball from last night, Briarcliff defeating Bellevue in women's hoops 67-60 despite 20 points and 20 boards from Ashton Arnold from Bellevue. That's a tough luck loss for that squad. On the guys' side, Dakota Wesleyan really kind of battling tough with SDSU, losing by 16, 78-62. That counts for the Jackrabbits, does not count for the Tigers there. But all things considered, you know, go on the road there at Frost and you compete pretty high level. I feel pretty good about that if I'm D-Dub.
Yeah, I certainly do. I mean, that's a good, solid program that you're competing with. They only lose that game by 16 points. You'll take that. There's a lot of positives you could take away from a game like that.
No question about it. All right, that's it for us in our live portion of the program. Jake Klein Connect bringing you an Aberdeen Wings Weekly. That's coming up next. We're back at it tomorrow live in studio with a Wolves Midweek.
Do you know what's worse than having a fender bender with your vehicle? Realize.
Well, folks, here we go with another edition of Wings Weekly. Jake Klein Connect here. Head coach Scott Langer right there. Coach, three games in 4 days. And, boy, I tell you what. Pretty intense. A lot happening there. You know, and funny thing is I didn't take a whole heck of a lot of notes on this week just because it felt like just so much more of like an emotional kind of thing. You get a shutout on Wednesday going into Thanksgiving and then roll in on, you know, to Bismarck Friday, Saturday. Played them well. I mean, I really felt like, you know, that you guys played them solid, especially considering they're the number one team in the league and in the division. And, you know, we talked last week a little bit about, you know, stacking up and how things were going to look and so on. And then, of course, on Saturday, a huge win. We're going to break through those a little bit. But overall, as a lump, you know, with a banged up, beat up team in a lot of ways, and you had guys stepping up. You had Bronny, you know, playing some great goaltending between the pipes. You had a lot of things going your way, it seemed like, over the last, you know, few days.
Yeah, you know, it's never easy when you have three and 4 days. It's a quick turnaround altogether, and obviously you throw a holiday in there. But, you know, Wednesday, Bronny had a great game. Obviously, he pitched a shutout, and Leo showed up as he always does. And obviously, he had the three goals there. That was the difference. So that was good heading into, you know, some positivity heading into Friday. And then, you know, Friday we played a really good hockey game. We really did. When you go back and you watch and you look at all the stuff, you know, we were good. You know, we had a couple chances there. The goaltender made some really huge saves on that. Could have really changed the complexion of the game, and you know, unfortunately, they had one go off a skate for the game-winning goal. So, but the effort was great, and it allowed our guys to have confidence. And we came into Saturday, and the dressing room was upbeat. It was alive. There was a lot of chatter, and obviously, the way we played against them on Saturday, we were winning every race and puck battle, and you know, able to hold them to one goal, which is. It itself is a big deal, you know, with them leading the league in goals and chances for. So, yeah, I mean, it was, you could take two or three at home. I think you have to live with that. Obviously, we were good enough to take all three, and we didn't. But I think that's a positive headed into next weekend.
I certainly think so, too. I really do. And you know, it's a funny thing. You mentioned it. You know, a 5-3 loss there Friday, but, you know, you had them on the ropes. You had them in your sights, so to speak, whatever. You know, whatever terminology you want to use. The reality is that you're up. You know, you have the opportunity. It's got to bring some confidence, as you mentioned, into what ends up being Saturday night. And Saturday night, a 4-1 win. I really felt like both games were solidly played physically. You know, it's an interesting thing. Bismarck, to me, and I'm going to pick your brain here a little bit, because Bismarck does not seem to me like St. Cloud or like the Mallards, or like they want to be in zone. And you guys did a really good job, it seemed to me, of preventing that and of keeping things in the neutral zone and in transitioning. And no disrespect, because I know the Bismarck Bobcats are a very good hockey team. And I said this several times during the broadcast. And they are very well coached as well. But they seem like when they're best is when they're in zone and able to keep that, as opposed to some of these, you know, some of the other teams that you've seen in the Central Division where transition is their game. Was that part of your game plan of kind of breaking that up and not allowing them, you know, to transition and to, you know, to move from zone to zone?
Yeah. I mean, we knew their in zone offense was very good and they rely on it heavily. And we knew that, you know, we had to touch the puck first in the defensive zone, and we had to dictate what we were going to do next. And obviously we were quick to pressure both nights, and we didn't allow them, you know, I think it was Friday night, the first minute and a half of the game, after the puck dropped, they had a really good in zone offense and a couple chances off it. And I think that woke us up a little bit that, hey, you know, we got to do a good job defending these guys, because they get going offensively and they're really good. So I thought we adjusted really well. Our guys did a good job of that. And yeah, they were pretty intense in the defensive zone, and you know, breaking the puck out, you know, clean exits were huge against them. And you know, they have a really good forecheck. So our defensemen did a really good job of breaking pucks out, probably the best all year, I would say, and it came at the right time against the top team in the league. So, again, you know, the biggest thing is seeing the maturity grow on, you know, some of these young guys, you know, the Andersons and the Safirs, and obviously Soderdalen had the game-winning goal on Saturday, and, you know, he that was his first goal of the season. Just seeing some of these guys grow up, and you know, as they're being forced into the game, whereas if some of the other guys were back, they might not have been forced into those situations. They would continue to grow at their rate. But I think them having to step in and do what they're doing right now is only going to make us a better team in the end when we do get healthy. So those guys did a really good job this weekend. All those first year players that stepped in and did roles, even our affiliate Cam Alt and Chucky Norris that stepped in from Sioux Falls Power, they competed. You know, I think that's the word for this weekend. We competed, and Soderdalen said it best in the paper. He said, "You know what? That's the new standard," and I love to hear that.
Well, I think you absolutely nailed that, Coach. I really do, because, you know, when it comes to guys like Soderdalen or, you know, even Mugosh and, you know, some of these guys that, you know, we've talked about over the last few weeks about being hurt and banged up and whatever, next guy up mentality, well, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to do, but they're doing it. They're like, you could see it. And I was just, it was really impressive. And as you said, the affiliates, you know, did a great job as well. You know, and it only makes you more confident as you get healthy and start to move on to you know, Mason City this coming weekend here and so on. You know, I wanted to ask a little bit about, you know, goals. And I don't mean goals between the pipes. I mean goals overall, because clearly the long-term goal is, you know, a national championship. You know, it is a Central Division championship, and so on. Do you set short-term goals, you know, as weeks go along and so on? I got a feeling that you do, but if you do, are you achieving them? Because it feels like you are. It feels like there's growth.
We're more towards the short-term goals. Obviously, everybody has the end game in sight, but I don't think you can ever get there without going through the process and trying to hit your short-term goals. I think if you do that, you're going to end up where you want to be at the end. Mm-hmm. But we do, you know, our team set their own goals, and they set them based on 10-game increments. And beginning of this 10 games, didn't really reach what we needed to reach. And then obviously, as of late, we're reaching what we intended to do. And They're written right up there in the locker room for everybody to see. And we try to achieve them. And they're good goals, you know. I mean, obviously, we never want to lose two in a row. That's a huge one. If we want to make the playoffs, you can't lose two in a row very often. You have to find a way to salvage points. So, but yeah, the guys come up with their own because I think they need to be fully invested in it. I can come up with hundreds of them, but again, I'm not playing. So they need to be able to feel like they can attain those goals, because I think when you do, it's a sense of achievement, and yeah, that brings confidence.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, folks, again, a 5-3 loss Friday that it was a very close game, a very tightly played game, and the Wings had the Bobcats on their heels for a while there. And then a 4-1 win on Saturday. Again, as you mentioned, Bogachev with what, 5 goals in three games. Now, at the time of this taping or this recording, I don't know if he's going to be the star of the week. Sometimes it seems like the league decides, you know, whether or not somebody's swept to gifts. But, man, the guy's got a hot hand, and he's just he's an absolute sniper right now. And that's it's really cool to watch him play. I'll be perfectly I was on my toes. I literally was like jumping around up there, and that doesn't always happen. Sometimes there's times maybe I'm not feeling it, whatever. I don't know. It just but Saturday night it was like, oh my gosh, these guys, they're buzzing. The boys are buzzing, and I could feel it, and that was really, really cool. And I think the crowd felt it too. You could just see people getting up out of their seats and out of, in the stands, and you know the emotion and everything that was going on throughout the entire building. It was so cool, and it felt like a playoff game. It really kind of did feel like a playoff game. And I know that Bismarck, you know, if Coach Roth or you know Bismarck fans watch this, whatever, they're going to say, ah, well, yeah, it's middle of the season. But the reality is that it wasn't a very intense game. And I get what they would say. I understand that. We've been there. You know, we've been there. Heck, we were in Bismarck when they, you know, broke the Wings win streak. You know, but their crowd went nuts there, too. Like, it was, you know, so it's been a little back and forth for sure. All right, North Isle. Now, that's who you have next down in Mason City, a 9-win team. They're sitting sixth in the standings, and Ryan will show the standings here, no doubt. But the reality is, they're a good hockey team. What have you seen from them? What do you need to do to keep this bus rolling down that same road?
Well, I think you got to stick to a lot of what we've been kind of doing. You know, pushing the pace, defending really well, all those things that it takes to win a hockey game. But, you know, games against North Iowa are completely different than playing Bismarck. Bismarck tries to outplay you. They try to outskate you and outscore you. And North Iowa tries to out-physicality you. And, you know, sometimes it goes over the line with those guys. But, you know, we got to be ready mentally for their type of game. And, you know, they're going to come out and play the same way they always play. And they do have guys on their lineup that can hurt you. I mean, you look at their last game, how many goals they put up, despite they didn't win the game. I mean, I think they put up 5 and lost 8-5. So they have that ability to score, you know. And they're always a hard competitive team to play against. I mean, they sent us on a little bit of a spin after they beat us here at home. And, you know, we kind of owe them, you know. So this whole week of preparation is about North Iowa. It's almost like a playoff because we play them 4 out of the next 6 games, I believe both times in North Iowa. So, you know, it's important to get out and establish your game on Friday night and then go, you know, obviously period by period after that. But it's going to be a hard series.
No doubt. They all are in the Central Division. They just really are. It's a funny thing. But North Iowa clearly with some talent there, and as you mentioned, physicality, some of which, well, might need to be matched, I guess, is perhaps the best word to put that politically correct. Coach, thank you so much for joining me. I got to tell you, I was on my toes. We had a great time Saturday night. The crowd was buzzing. The boys were buzzing. beating the Bismarck Bobcats, giving them their second loss of the regulation loss of the season, and you know, showing the league really that the Liberty Wings are here and they're real. And that was pretty darn cool. I was pretty darn excited about that whole weekend. Again, after Watertown and then the two games with Bismarck. Best of luck against North Iowa. And, you know, work cut out for you, no doubt. But that's always the case as the season rolls along. So, all right, folks, second portion of Wings Weekly will come up after this. Second portion of Wings Weekly continues. Well, not the second portion continues, but Wings Weekly continues. And now we start with the second portion. So you see where I'm going with that. JK here with you, and Willem Braun is joining me. Got a lot of questions for you. Some are dumb. Some are pretty straightforward. Some will be repeated from other players and so on. But I appreciate you taking some time to join me.
I appreciate being here.
Tell you what, shutout on Wednesday, that had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the first one of junior career always feels pretty good, so it was nice.
So, does it look like a beach ball? I mean, just what's going on in your mind when you know when you're feeling it and you're like blocker, boom, glove, douche, pad, stick, and how, like, as you grow or not grow, as it goes throughout the course of the game, do you get more and more confident and it just starts to feel like I've got everything at this point?
Yeah, I mean, as the game kind of goes on, you kind of just get more relaxed and settled in, and it just kind of starts getting a little bit easier, and you're kind of just feeling yourself, and it gets a little easier. Like you're saying, puck gets a little bigger. Mm-hmm. It slows down a little bit. It's a little easier to see, and goes from there.
Wow, big win there, Watertown. That got things going because you guys played really well against Bismarck, who is the number one team in the division, as we talked to Coach Langer about just a little while ago, and in the league, points-wise, you know, but then, you know, you end up a loss there, but still, you know, really tight game, and then coming away with a huge game and a huge win on Saturday, too. Another one where... All right, I got to be careful here because I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I know you were below me at one point, and I saw you make like four saves in 12 seconds, like just crazy. And I looked up at the scoreboard, and it had one shot on goal, and I'm going, no way. Like, he absolutely was killing it. Like, he completely covered that whole crease. And another one where... confidence-wise, you're feeling it, you know, and Connie's sitting behind me, and I'm looking at him like, did you see that? Like, you know, and he's like, yeah, you know, and how, as a goaltender, you know, when they've got a rush or when they've got some in-zone presence, which, again, as I mentioned with Coach Langer just a little bit ago, I thought defensively you guys did a really good job of kind of keeping them out. You know, and making them have to go back and forth rather than camp out. But how's your confidence level in a game like that?
I mean, it's just kind of like faith in yourself. I had a coach last year who said you have to have confidence in yourself before the team can have confidence in you.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a go back to your roots, what you've grown up doing, just kind of had confidence in myself and just was there to give the team the best chance to win. I'm just doing my thing.
Doing your thing. Oh, by the way, a Pennsylvania native, I didn't start with that like I normally would, or about your past history, because most of it has been played in the East Coast, and here you are in Aberdeen, South Dakota, in the flat plains of the Midwest. But just doing a great job. Now, I got to ask you, and that's part of why, is because it, coming off such a weekend like that, I was so excited and pumped for this team and for all of these players in this locker room as we look around, you know, to have that level of success and to, you know, be on your back in a lot of ways because you're the last line of defense. You know, you're the guy. And they stand up for you. They take care of you as much as they can, and so on. But there's many times, like I said, where you're just making save after save, and things were going the Wings' way. So very cool. So I kind of jumped past that, but maybe what I should say is we're backtracking a little bit. How did you get started in hockey, and was there any influences or anybody maybe in your family that kind of said or showed you the way?
Yes, when I was a little kid, I actually started figure skating with my cousin when I was like 3 or 4. And so I went with the Aaron.
Like pirouette kind of?
Yeah, like figure skates, like all of the above. Like it was...
Toe pick.
Yeah, it was fun. But I always hung out with my cousin, so she was very nice, and it was something I could do with her. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, in the rink next to us, there was learn to play hockey. And I wanted to try that, so I tried that. And from there, I went to in-house league. I started as a player, actually, in in-house league.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last game of the season, we didn't have a goalie on our team. So I played goalie and player stuff, and then ever since, just stuck with it.
Well, you answered my next question, which was, have you ever played any other positions? I say this every time I talk to a goalie, but I threw my hat in the ring as a goaltender. And it was largely because I liked the pads. I liked the equipment. I thought it was cool. I feel like Maximus Meridius just out there, like, grrr, with all these pads on and stuff. But then I ended up, giving up on that and moving on to a right winger. But anyway, side note, if anybody's watching this from the Aberdeen Cougar Association or the Hockey Association, this is like the fourth, fifth guy, something like that, that I have heard this year alone say that they have started from give hockey a shot or learn to skate or something like that, one of those events. And I know that the Aberdeen Hockey Association does those things too. They can be very effective, and clearly that is the case with Mr. Braun here. All right, so, how about shout out to mom and dad, family, you mentioned a cousin. Obviously, the parents are such a huge part of any kid's growth as a player, as a person, as whatever. But anybody out there you want to say?
I mean, my mom and dad especially, they do so much with work and taking off and being able to get me to the rink every day.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my aunts and like all them too, because I know they watch every game and they love to watch the Wings. So got a lot of big fans and supporters back home.
Good stuff. Yeah, man, you got to love hockey moms. There's not much they won't do.
No.
Somebody once told me, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but somebody once told me that the difference between a pit bull and a hockey mom is lipstick, because they will fight you. They are loyal. They will fight you. They will take care of everything they need to do. And, and they're right next to you at your feet or whatever, just right with you the whole time. And that's a compliment. That's not a negative thing. All right. Away from the rink. Wait a minute. Let's go back. I wanted to talk. I've mentioned that Connie was up by me on Saturday night, and he's looking at me and like hitting me. Did you see that? I'm like, yeah, I saw it. Like he was like your biggest fan.
Yeah.
He was fanboying up there, like totally just. And how cool is it to have a guy like him, is a little older, but is like. On your side and helping you out, and someone, goalies are weird.
Yeah.
Y'all are, I'm like, let's be honest, you're a little bit weird. So to have someone to talk to, someone that understands that you don't mind having a 90 mile per hour frozen piece of rubber shot at you and hitting you in the mask or in the blocker or whatever it might be, like they get it. What has he meant? And of course, Coach Dumba too, and helping you guys out.
Oh, they're great. I mean, Cunny especially, it's nice. Like the confidence of like an older guy too, who's been through it for the last 2 years now. He's a great mentor. And I think especially more than anything, he's a great human being.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. Like
when I come to the locker room every day, he's got a smile. He's joking with me. We're joking with each other, having fun. Any little pointers I need, he's there to help me out. And honestly, the same. Like sometimes he asks me too about little things that I notice or anything. And
sure.
Kind of the ability to bounce ideas and things we think we could try to do better off of each other, and just being each other's fans and wanting to see the best for both of us and each other is—it's huge. It's huge.
Man, I tell you, I've been doing this a long time, and I've always been amazed in a lot of ways about goaltender pairs and about how well y'all work together, and how you know, like you just said, you know, he'll come to you and say, "Hey, man, you know, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing?" or whatever it might be. You know, because I think a lot of people, like the casual fan, they may not really recognize or realize that. They may think it's sort of like a competition thing. But while everybody wants the minutes, everybody wants to go, you know, get those wins, it is a combined effort. It's very cool.
No, you know? Absolutely. I mean, it's a team sport. So, like, if one guy's not pulling his weight, like, it doesn't work. So everyone has to be able to feed off each other. And I mean, it's just success. Like, you want the team to win, and you want everyone else, you want everyone to be successful. Mm-hmm. You want to see everyone move on and grow and be better. So, just a big part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. What do you think? Like, all right, again, if you're watching this, you probably, you know, have watched the others, and you probably are a hockey fan. But if you aren't, or maybe you're listening in on Fox Sports Aberdeen or something like that, maybe you're not as familiar with it, but the goalie is protected. Like, you, the guys, the boys are there for you, you know, when and the defenseman especially, you know, when there's a jab at your glove, when you got one over the top or whatever, and you know, they're gonna get their retaliation. They're gonna get something from it and let them know, don't touch my boy, that's my guy, you know. What does that mean to you as a goaltender? Does it mean, like, when the team comes up and, like, gives you the, you know, the head bop, I guess, or the knucks or whatever it might be, and, you know, walks past, or not walks past, but skates past, and gives you, you know, one on the knee pads or whatever, you know, maybe even after you're letting the goal in or whatever it might be, the level of support that you get from the, you know, from the group, what does that mean?
I mean, it means everything. It's just great reassurance too. Of like, yeah, you said, after they score a goal or something, when they boys come by and tap and say, "Hey, we got you. We're gonna go get one." Or just like, it's nice to know they're there. Because sometimes, you know, you can get lost sitting back there by yourself.
Oh yeah.
It's nice to know that the boys always got your back. Especially too, like after the first goal on Friday when I got ran and Comfy, like, you know, got a penalty, jumped that guy. I mean, it means the world. Like, after the game, I came up to him and gave him a tap and was like, "Yo, thanks for sticking out for me." Like, it means a lot knowing that the boys got your back.
Yeah. Man, I'm a little verklempt over here. I'm getting all emotional. You know, it's for real, though. This is that's what it's all about, being a team. That's what it's about, being a team. And, you know, for Comfy to be like, "Yo, that's my guy. Don't talk to him that way. Don't do him dirty." That's pretty cool. What do you like to do when you're not here?
I'm a big golfer back home. I love golfing with my dad's been something we've been able to do as I've gotten older more, since he works a lot.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Like, through the Y sometimes, work out. Big movie guy. I just went and saw Gladiator 2 last night with some of the boys.
Was it good?
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah?
I mean, it wasn't as good as the first one, but I wasn't expecting that. The first one's unbelievable. So.
Wow. I threw a Maximus Meridius reference in, and now we're here we are, full circle.
I wanted to say something, but I kept myself back.
Yeah. All right. Movie guy. Love it. All right. Golfer. Not surprised. Everybody says they're a golfer. That's just the way it goes with hockey players, apparently. We've got North Iowa coming up here in, a couple of days. Now, this is a team down in what used to be a JCPenney's building that is a really nice facility. But, you know, and some good people down there for sure, too. But a 9-win team, how do you keep it rolling? You know, I mentioned this to Coach just a little bit ago. How do you keep the wheels on that bus just, you know, going that same direction? Because you come off a big win on Saturday and a big win on Wednesday, too, you know, and a solid three games in 4 days. Now you face another team that you haven't seen, well, in their building yet. Mm-hmm. What do you got to do?
I mean, going back to the St. Cloud weekend, I think from that game on Friday, even though we, like, kind of blew that game, we've been kind of every game going up and up and up and just getting better every game. And especially, I mean, that game on Saturday, I felt like we dominated. We hemmed them in their zone, cycling the puck, getting pucks on net. We almost had 50 shots against the number one team in the standings. So I think just got to keep it up. I mean, we have, the boys have confidence in us now. Like, I mean, we just did what we did this weekend. Like, yeah. There's nobody that's out of reach. So just go in there, keep getting better every day, and keep the energy and keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I told Coach Langer I was on my toes, and I really, truly was. Even there are people up there where, you know, the press box is, and they're looking at me like, the heck is with you? Like, I'm usually a little bit more calm, a little bit more, man, you guys had me going. I was like, yeah, let's go. This week's games at North Iowa, Friday puck drop at 7:10, Saturday puck drop at 6:30. Watch at NAHLTV.com. Listen on 94.1 The Rock, HubCityRadio.com, or The Rock app, which you can carry with you on any of your mobile devices. Next home games, Friday and Saturday, December 13th and 14th, versus the St. Cloud Norsemen. Tickets available at tickets.aberdeenwings.com or at any of the Sea Express locations in Aberdeen. Sponsorships and reserve season tickets are available for the 2024-2025 season. Still, call Aaron at 605-380-5852 for more information. For all the latest news and information on the Wings, visit AberdeenWings.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And, of course, you're probably watching this on YouTube. Willem Braun coming up huge in a lot of big games here very short past tense. So congratulations to you. Looking forward to more of what you can do for this Aberdeen Wings team. And thanks for taking some time to join us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this week's Wings Weekly.